Chapter 5. The Theatre. The theatre was crowded that night, and it was oppressively hot. Dorian, Lord Henry and Basil were sitting in a private box. Young people were shouting to each other across the theatre, eating oranges and drinking from bottles.
"What a place to find one's love in," said Lord Henry.
"Yes, you're right, Harry,"
answered Dorian.
"The place is awful, but when she acts, you'll forget these common, rough people with their coarse faces and vulgar gestures. She has the power to elevate them."
"I understand what you mean, Dorian, and I believe in this girl,"
said the painter.
"If she can give a soul to those who have lived without one, if she can create the sense of beauty in people whose lives have been ugly, she deserves all your adoration."
"Thank you, Basil,"
answered Dorian, pressing his hand. After a quarter of an hour, accompanied by extraordinary applause, Sybil Vane appeared on the stage. Yes, she was certainly lovely to look at. One of the loveliest women Lord Henry had ever seen. Basil jumped to his feet and applauded. Motionless, Dorian Gray stared at her dreamily. She moved across the stage like a goddess. Yet she was strangely lifeless. When she spoke, her words sounded artificial and meaningless. Her tone was false and unnatural. Her acting lacked passion and vitality. Dorian Gray grew pale as he watched her. His friend said nothing to him, but she seemed absolutely incompetent. They were horribly disappointed. She grew worse as she went on. Her gestures became artificial. She was a failure. The people in the theatre lost interest and started to talk loudly and laugh. Sybil did not seem to notice anything. At the end of the second act, Lord Henry got up and said,
"She's very beautiful, Dorian, but she can't act. Let's go."
"I'm going to see the entire play,"
answered Dorian in a bitter voice.
"I'm so sorry that I've wasted your time."
"My dear Dorian, perhaps Miss Vane is ill,"
said Basil.
"I wish she were ill, but she seems to be simply callous and cold. She's completely changed. Last night she was a great artist. This evening she's a mediocre actress."
"Go away. I want to be alone. Can't you see my heart is breaking?"
Hot tears came to his eyes, and he hid his face in his hands. As soon as the play was over, he rushed to see Sybil. When she saw him, an expression of great joy came over her.
"Dorian, how badly I acted tonight,"
she cried.
"Horribly. It was terrible. Are you ill? You have no idea how I suffered."
"Dorian, don't you understand?"
she said, smiling.
"Understand what?"
he asked angrily.
"Why I was so bad tonight. Well, I'll always be a bad actress."
"You're ill, I suppose. When you're ill, you shouldn't act. My friends were bored. I was bored."
She did not seem to listen to him.
"Dorian,"
she cried.
"Before I knew you, acting was the only thing in my life. It was only in the theatre that I lived. Then you came and freed my soul from prison. You made me understand what love really is. It wasn't what I was playing on the stage. Only your love is real to me. Everything else is false and artificial. My love, take me away with you where we can be alone."
Dorian threw himself on the sofa and said coldly,
"You've killed my love."
She looked at him in wonder and laughed.
"Yes, you've killed my love,"
he repeated.
"I loved you because you were marvellous, because you had genius and intellect. You've thrown it all away. You're shallow and stupid. My
God, how mad I was to love you. What a fool I've been. You're nothing to me now. I'll never see you again. Without your art, you're nothing.
The girl trembled.
You aren't serious, Dorian,
she murmured. She put her hand on his arm.
Don't touch me,
he cried. She threw herself at his feet and lay there like a trampled flower.
Dorian, Dorian, don't leave me,
she whispered.
Can't you forgive me for tonight? I'll work so hard and try to improve. Don't be cruel to me because I love you better than anything in the world. Oh, don't leave me.
She crouched on the floor like a wounded thing, and Dorian, with his beautiful eyes, looked down at her in disdain. Her tears annoyed him.
I'm going,
he said, in his calm, clear voice.
I don't want to be unkind, but I can't see you again. You've disappointed me.
He turned around, and in a few moments he was out of the theatre. He walked through dark streets and past dingy houses. At dawn he was near Covent Garden, from where he took a carriage home. As he passed through his library, his eye fell on his portrait. He stared at it in surprise and walked on into his bedroom. Then he returned to the library and examined the picture. In the dim light, the face appeared to be changed. The expression looked different. He walked to the window and opened the curtains. He looked at the portrait again. The bright sunlight showed him the lines of cruelty around the mouth. He picked up a small oval mirror, one of Lord Henry's many gifts, and looked at his real face. There were no hard lines around his mouth. He examined the picture again. His expression in the painting had changed. It was horribly apparent. He threw himself into a chair and began to think. Suddenly he remembered his words in Basil's studio the day the picture had been finished. He had made a mad wish that he might remain young and beautiful, and the painting should grow old and ugly. That the face in the picture might reflect his passions and sins, and that he might keep the candor of youth. Had his wish come true? Such things were impossible. And yet, there was the picture in front of him, with a touch of cruelty in the mouth. Cruelty? Had he been cruel? No. Why should he think about Sybil Vane? She was nothing to him now. The picture held the secret of his life and told his story. It had taught him to love his own beauty. Would it teach him to hate his own soul? It was the mirror of his conscience. He decided to save himself, to resist temptation. He would not see Lord Henry again. He would not listen to his poisonous theories. He would go back to Sybil Vane, marry her, and try to love her again. His life with her would be beautiful and pure. He got up from his chair and put a large screen in front of the portrait.
How horrible,
he murmured to himself. Then he went out into the garden and thought only of Sybil.